WISS Berlin, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation. A civic media station.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. A man now in custody in connection with the shooting death of United Healthcare's CEO last week in New York City. Police in Altoona arresting the 26-year-old on unrelated charges.
Luigi Mangione was born and raised in Maryland and has an Ivy League pedigree. The University of Pennsylvania confirms the 26-year-old earned both an undergraduate and a master's degree in engineering in 2020. Sources say he was on a Greyhound bus traveling through Altoona on Monday morning when he got off and walked into a McDonald's, where a witness recognized him from images of the suspect circulated by police.
ABC's Dave Packer. Police say they also found fake IDs and a gun similar to the one used in the shooting. Pete Hegseth back on Capitol Hill today, still fighting an uphill battle on Senate confirmation for Defense Secretary. He denies sexual and misconduct allegations. Polarization has been deemed the word of 2024 by Merriam-Webster. Also on its annual list of words for the year, demure, fortnight, and totality. This is ABC News.
Lisa Hale with WISS News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section at WISS.FM. For 98.3 WISS News, I'm Lisa Hale. The Brown County United Way will use a $450,000 federal grant to improve childcare options and help lower families' costs. The grant will help family-based childcare providers get licensed and handle paperwork, record-keeping, and taxes. Additionally, asset-limited, income-constrained employed, or ALICE families, can apply for up to 12 weeks of childcare scholarships through the grant. Scholarships of up to $200 per child per week will be paid directly to the family-based providers. Bex is a 10-year-old from Green Bay with his sights set on becoming a professional sports journalist and broadcaster. And he's already making it happen with a podcast backed by the Boys and Girls Club of Greater Green Bay.
Before my podcast, I always think, just take it like I'm just talking to like a friend. Because if you just think about like you're just having a conversation, it's way easier to concentrate and get your stuff done, get all your questions done, than thinking, oh my gosh, I'm interviewing this Packer player. Because everyone is just a person, no matter what they do, no matter who they are. They're all just a person.
You can hear more from Bex on his podcast, Shorts on Sports, on YouTube. He's also a regular guest on Civic Media's Mino and the Mayor Show, airing weekday mornings from 6 till 9 on 98.3 WISS. The original plan was to retire in January, but retiring Oshkosh City Manager Mark Roloff won't be sitting on his laurels, so to speak. Instead, he's accepted a position with McMahon Associates in Neenah, where he'll work with the Public Safety and Municipal Management Division of that engineering firm. I'm Lisa Hale, 98.3 WISS News. For news anytime, log on to WISS.FM.
The Pack gets ready for Seattle. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It's back to work for the Packers, who play the Seahawks in Seattle. Next on Sunday Night Football, the Seahawks beat the Cardinals in Arizona yesterday 30-18. Cardinals quarterback Kyler Murray throwing two interceptions in the first half that the Seahawks converted into a pair of touchdowns. Women's college volleyball, Wisconsin and Marquette headed to the Sweet 16. The Badgers will face Texas A&M, the Golden Eagles against Utah, both matches set for Friday. NBA, the Bucks at home tomorrow night for an NBA Cup quarterfinal against the Orlando Magic. The Bucks beat the Nets 118-113. Doc Rivers on what made the difference in Brooklyn versus losing in Boston on Friday.
The difference tonight than in the Boston game. Tonight, we trusted everything. Giannis made a great pass to Bobby for a three. Dame had the three, but they were closing out and he swung it to Chris. That's called trust. That's how you win games. When you start doing that, your team becomes unguardable.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy for tonight, a low in the mid-20s. And mostly cloudy for tomorrow, a high into the low 30s. Some snow showers late tomorrow night into Wednesday, falling temps through the 20s and becoming breezy. It's 46 right now.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Here's why I'm glad I don't work in an office. My wife is always talking about, she's a teacher. They put donuts in the teacher's lounge. There's sweets, there's snacks. It wasn't that way here today, but Nikki keeps those Biscoff cookies out there. I probably ate 12 of those today. The phrase "you are what you eat" is very true, because I was sitting in the office earlier prepping the show and I felt kind of doughy and I'm like, I feel like a Biscoff cookie.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support WISS, the Valley's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app, this is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show. Thank you so much for listening. You can be a part. 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. It's Monday. It's 5 o'clock. So jazzed as hell to reintroduce to you one of our favorites, Harvey K., Professor Emeritus of Democracy at the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. And Harvey, I've been coming up with a new term. How about this one? Harvey K., a Delano Democrat.
That...
See, it's got the two D's, man. You with me?
Well, the problem with that is that was his mother's family name, if I'm not mistaken. And you might not realize that he had a father too, just for the record.
Come on, man. You're killing my buzz over here, Harvey.
He was so excited coming in talking about double D's.
Double D's, man. Delano Democrat. We got to make it simple. Everyone knows Franklin. Well, maybe not everyone. People should know.
Tell you what. Yeah. Subscribe to my arguments and you can call a Dom Democrat.
All right. I got it. I'll take it. I'll take a Dom Democrat. But Franklin Delano Roosevelt, a big favorite here on this show. Harvey, I know we're going to get to what we think the Dems need to do to win. And some of that, of course, is getting back to FDR's policies and supporting those and pushing those and articulating those, educating people on those. But before we get there, I want to get your reaction after we talked last week, of course, that United Health executive was murdered in New York. And, you know, a terrible tragedy, you know, kids lost a dad and wife lost a husband and families lost a relative and friends lost a friend. And that's never good. That said, the numbers that I saw that he was pushing through the insurance company of his division specifically, $261 billion in revenue last year. He himself made just over $10 million in base salary and, you know, other options and benefits. On top of that, he is also or was also involved in a fraud and insider trading case where he sold 11 days before news. It came public that they were under a DOJ investigation. He sold like over 30% of his personal stock in the company and reaped a $11 million profit in doing so. So he was looking himself at some very serious time for those accusations as well. So aside from the tragedy, and murder is always bad, we don't solve our problems that way. The reaction was really stunning to me. The gallows humor, the lack of empathy or sympathy for a healthcare executive. And I can kind of understand how many people have been rejected, denied care. I mean, that's kind of how they make their money, Harvey. What's your sense on how this portrays the American psyche right now?
Well, it actually portrays an American psyche that is divided powerfully, not by just questions of race and gender, which I think are actually secondary right now to questions of gross class inequalities.
Yeah.
I mean, if people come to see that as a question of, you know, this rich guy, very rich guy, super rich guy, okay, was involved as are other executives in the insurance industry. You know, it's not him alone, obviously. This is a whole class of folks. And making vast sums of money. I'm repeating myself over and over because I think that's the critical thing. And then many other people, first of all, can't get health insurance. Second of all, work two jobs and still can't get health insurance. Okay. I mean, their anger expresses itself in that kind of fashion, you know, of right. I also heard somebody else say the kinds of expenditures of resources in tracking the killer compared to the other hundreds of murders that take place in cities each week, probably, well, at least in New York City over the course of a year. It's astounding. You know, if let's put it this way, for the sake of everyone's family, I suppose, let's hope that you get that kind of attention if anyone ever takes you out. I mean, but I'm glad you opened up by saying, I mean, it is tragic. Okay. There's no question. And a resort to singular assassinations is always a very perverse response and one we should never, ever endorse, I think.
And I think it does shine, again, the reaction, not the action of the killer, who apparently there's somebody in custody right now, which is good. I mean, if you pay the price for the murder. It is the reaction that I think is very telling. And I'm wondering, are we able to capitalize on that? I mean, it is, I guess it's, to me, it just highlights as I throw those statistics out of the revenue and the profitability. Oh, I'm sorry. I think the division made 20 some billion dollars on the 200 some million dollars in gross revenue on top of the pay and all that. So these are gross, big numbers. And they're basically, to my humble opinion, taken on the back by denying claims. That's how you do it. If you paid all the money out, you wouldn't make that kind of money. Do you think there's new room for conversation for a Medicare for all or something along those lines, Harvey?
Let's put it this way. I remember in 2020, the Democratic debate stage, and I don't remember exactly who challenged Bernie Sanders on this question, but one of the other candidates challenged Bernie regarding his push for Medicare for all, the closest we would ever have been able to come to some kind of universal health care, by saying, do you want to bankrupt America? Well, people have got to understand the insurance companies are bankrupting plenty of people already. And if they're making that kind of money, right, then sure as hell we'd be better off reinvesting national resources in a national healthcare system where people are not rejected who have pressing needs. I mean, will it help? I don't know, but I can tell you this, that we will not finish the healthcare question now, because the question of what I think the Democrats need to do to win is very much involved in this question of national health care.
It certainly is. Harvey K., Professor Emeritus of Democracy at the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay, joining me for this and the next segment. Harvey, always a pleasure, man. All right, so what do the Dems need to do? I mean, obviously, let's start with this. Let's talk about the health care. How does this play into a Democratic victory going forward, Harvey?
Okay, that's more the punchline as opposed to the starter.
All right, well, I'll let you lead it however you want, man. You tell me, brother.
Well, here's the thing. One of the subjects that has come up, not just from folks like me and by folks like me, but, you know, Bernie Sanders himself launched the big debate about what are the Democrats to do now that they're essentially leaderless. Okay, leaderless. And they're a total mess right now, the Democrats. Okay, well, the first thing the Democrats really need to do, whoever emerges, whether it's Ben Wickler here or Ken Martin out of Minnesota, the leadership of the Democrat, the new leadership, really must take up this question. Does the Democratic Party seek to be the party of working people or not? And if not, then we're in trouble. And if so, then first thing they need to do is they need to invite the labor unions, AFL-CIO as a representative of labor unions, back into the party. Now, did they ever throw them out? No, not exactly. But back in 68 to 72, the Democratic Party reorganize the basis upon which candidates are chosen. I should say how candidates are chosen, national candidates. And what happened is they literally reduced the power and influence of labor in the process. This, and by the way, the ironic part is that this was a commission that was headed by George McGovern of South Dakota. And most people don't realize that move, by the way, they said this was in favor of basically small d democratizing the party more, better representation from women and minorities. That's how they put it at the time.
That was a justification at the time.
Right. Well, let's keep, interestingly enough, George Meany, the head of the AFL-CIO, walked out of the Democratic Party convention in 70, that would be 72, and took his entourage with him in protest at the treatment of labor by that McGovern Commission and the Democratic Party itself. As a sidebar to this, nobody remembers this except those of us who had to do the research on it, is the fact that McGovern in 1966 was in the Senate, and the question came up of bringing an end to the Taft-Hartley Act of 1947, by which the Republicans in many ways sort of neutered, not totally, but really weakened the ability of the labor movement to organize in the South and elsewhere against, you know, the right to work policies. And so the question came before the Senate, and McGovern was there when the filibuster began, and when the vote was taken, the what they call it, a vote on cloture, the idea of ending the filibuster, he did not vote to end the filibuster. And Meany didn't forget that either. So here's the thing. Here we are, 52 years later. It's about time the Democratic Party figured out how not simply to engage working people in canvassing, not simply in securing dollars from the labor unions to support their candidates, but how to more directly involve the labor movement in talking about the platform, in selecting the candidates who they believe would be the right candidate to lead a party that claims to represent working people. So that's my first thing. I think that ought to be this new, or let me put it this way. If they don't do it, I think the labor movement headed by the AFL-CIO, especially voices like Sean Fain and Sarah Nelson and even, you know, Sean O'Brien, these people need to make more noise about literally engaging in the Democratic Party's deliberations about where the party's going.
In doing so, Harvey, we're kind of, you know, this is legacy, right? I mean, these things don't happen. You didn't fall off the coconut tree today, right? This is a legacy situation. And so to that point, then, wouldn't the corporate backers of the current Democratic Party maybe have some issue with that?
Undeniably. But let us be clear about this. The corporate backers, the billionaires and multi-millionaires, they have literally captured the Democratic Party. I mean, we saw this with the Harris campaign, when at the outset, apparently there was serious talk that they were going to do a kind of Bernie Sanders initiative of pointing a finger at billionaires and the big corporate bosses.
Yeah.
And they didn't. They were warned, the Harris campaign, to back off doing that. I mean, look, everybody knows the power of money inside of not only the Republican, but also the Democratic Party. And we've got to start getting the people back into it.
Harvey K., Professor Emeritus of Democracy at the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. He's our favorite Delano Democrat. And Harvey, everybody needs money. That's why they call it money. Come back with us, 855-752-4842. We will continue on our suggestions on how the Democrats can continue to win going forward. Stick around.
From Oshkosh to Neenah, this is 98.3 WISS.
Our record energy costs putting a squeeze on your fixed or limited incomes. With limited incomes not keeping up with the lingering effects of inflation, you might be one of tens of thousands of Wisconsin residents who are struggling to survive in the blistering heat of summer or the bitter cold of winter. While you haven't asked for it, the Keep Wisconsin Warm Cool Fund and your local energy assistance providers are here to help. No Wisconsin resident should ever have to face the challenge of living without heat or power or face homelessness. For a hand up, apply today and call 1-800-506-5596. That's 800-506-5596. Or visit www.kwwf.org.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Big news in Wisconsin this month, as much of the controversial anti-union Act 10 law was struck down in a ruling by Dane County Circuit Court Judge Jacob Frost. Two takeaways on this. One, the ruling gets at the heart of what has always made this law so brazenly political, by defining public safety employees differently from general public employees. That decision was pretty clearly made not based on across-the-board policy, but on which unions backed Scott Walker for governor in 2010. It would be fitting if that is what ultimately spells the end for this controversial law. Secondly, this case is headed to an appeal, which almost certainly will end up at the Wisconsin Supreme Court. While this case still might be decided by the court's current 4-3 liberal majority, it's a good reminder of just how important the upcoming race for state Supreme Court will be.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, home for the Maggie Dawn Show.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Harvey K., Professor Emeritus of Democracy at the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. Sticking around for another segment. Harvey, thank you for doing so. Hey, Dems, you want to win? How do you do it? Well, invite labor back. Not just go out and get the labor, but like literally, what, bring them back to the table. Give them some power within the party itself. As mentioned, what, late 60s, early 70s, kind of pushed out labor's role to, what, bring in more diversity, quote unquote. But as you mentioned, to me, Harvey, there's more diversity in labor than there was back then.
Oh, labor is the most diverse force in America, decidedly the most diverse organized force in this country. You couldn't get more diverse than the labor movement right now.
All right. So what else we got? We'll bring labor back in. So Ben Wickler, okay. Our guy from here in Wisconsin, that's who I want to see at the DNC. Ben, we got his ear. We'll convince him of that. What other suggestions do we have?
Okay. The second thing is that they've got to start calling out. This goes back to the other thing that came up in our discussion previous segment. They've got to call out the corporate elite and the billionaires. Look, those are the folks who launched their class war against the democratic achievements of the 1930s to the 1960s. And everybody knows it, okay? At least those of us old enough to remember. This has been a long haul that these folks have been pursuing and ultimately destroying the democratic achievements of a president and a generation from the 30s through the 1960s. So that I think that's imperative. And by the way, a good lesson for that would be that of FDR. You know, FDR, what in 1936, when he accepted the renomination to run again, that is, for president of the United States for a second term, he said, "The economic royalists," he meant the corporate bosses, "complain we seek to overthrow the institutions of America. But what they really complain of is that we seek to take away their power. Our allegiance to American institutions requires the overthrow of this kind of power."
Yes.
Now that's a gutsy guy. And then later that fall in Madison Square Garden, he pointed out how literally capital had organized a very elite movement to try to end his presidency. And he said to the audience and radio audience, "I welcome their hatred." We got to have somebody with that kind of guts. Yeah. Not the Democrats who tell us, I want to fight for you, and then tell the corporate bosses nothing will fundamentally change. Okay, that has to fundamentally change.
Yeah, those two statements, those cannot exist at the same time. What are you fighting for? And it's, I find it, and I've seen some recent reporting, Harvey, on how it's almost like the billionaire class, they don't even have their proxies anymore. They're just like, hell, then I'm just going to be the face. Elon Musk, right? All these cats, Vivek Ramaswamy, Donald Trump. I mean, I remember back when the first time I heard about Americans for Prosperity and some of the Koch brothers and some of these different groups. I'm like, wait, what? Who's that? Huh? Like these folks used to, if you were in, maybe you knew, but it wasn't so blatant and out there. Now it's just like, hell, we don't even need to have proxies. We'll just go do that role ourselves. I'm a billionaire. Because I'm a billionaire, I'm smarter than everybody else. I'll figure it out. And I'm very concerned about that. Harvey, do you think it's better or worse that they're the ones, in fact, now trying to step into these roles instead of having proxies?
I think it's pernicious. I think it's absolutely, it's unbelievable. Who are they? Who elected them?
Yeah.
Okay. And now we've got Donald Trump and Musk, you know, with this, what is it called? D-O-G-E, Department
Doge.
Of
Government. Doge.
Doge. There is no, you cannot create a department as president. It's not the way it works. And American people are being bamboozled on this stuff. Bamboozled.
I'm concerned about the American people, and specifically our attention to history and our education or lack thereof. But maybe we'll get there. Okay, what else we got? We got two options.
Well, the third thing is, okay, not only should they be hostile to the corporate bosses, calling them out, they should also be engaging the imagination and the needs and wants of the American people. So, as you've heard me say for quite some time, the Democrats need to be speaking of developing. Maybe someday enacting, but definitely in the meantime, pursuing an economic bill of rights. And first and foremost, now to go back to the thing we started with, healthcare. Everyone knows that healthcare is the most fundamental question in the lives of working people and their families. Okay, we need an American rendition of socialized or national healthcare. Okay, that is essential. And I would go on another time. I don't want to take all the listing the other nine elements of an economic bill of rights, because I do think there's another key ingredient, which we definitely should consider. And that is Democrats need to choose candidates who will not only promise to fight for us, they will encourage the fight in us to back them and to pursue the kinds of bills and laws that will address the desperate needs of the vast majority of Americans. So, you know, so there it is. You've got invite labor back in a significant way. Two, call out the corporate elite. Three, think about economic rights. And four, in choosing candidates, choose candidates who will encourage a fight in people, not candidates who simply promise to fight for you.
Harvey, sounds like we need an energetic leader type. Is there anybody out there right now off the top of your head that you think mildly fits that role?
No. I mean, Bernie Sanders is old.
Yeah.
Let's face it. He's old. But his voice is not. It's still a young voice. As much as possible, I think progressives and others should be rallying around his voice. And let's see what emerges. I mean, there are decidedly progressive figures. Okay. There's this guy out of, is it Texas, Kassar, who's a really interesting character.
Now, was he elected the Progressive Caucus? Was that
right?
The guy?
He just took the leadership of the Progressive Caucus. Yeah. He seems very interesting and very promising. Ro Khanna has a definite interest in these kinds of things. There are others. AOC is much too young to be considered, I think, for a national presidential kind of campaign.
But she's certainly on that path, and she inspires in all sorts of folks, not just the progressives, but certainly on the megas as well. Bring the labor Absolutely. Back into the party around the decision making, not just to go out and do the work. Call out the corporate elite always. An economic bill of rights. Yes, let's address the healthcare issues. We can do that, especially if we call it the corporate elite who don't want to change that. And of course, find some encouraging and inspiring leaders to encourage the fight. We'll do the fight, encourage the fight within ourselves. Harvey Kay, you're one of them. My favorite Delano Democrat professor emeritus of democracy over at the University of Wisconsin Green Bay. Harvey, I'm going to keep on saying it till it's a thing. Thank you for your time once again, my friend.
As ever, thank you for having me on.
My pleasure. Folks, stick around. We'll be right back. 855-752-4842.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, the Fox Valley's home of Mino and the Mayor.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For 98.3 WISS News, I'm Lisa Hale.
Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers says he selected a new secretary nominee for the Department of Natural Resources, but so far has not shared that person's name. The position has been vacant for over a year as Governor Evers and state Republicans spar over a number of his nominations. Earlier this year, over half of the Natural Resources Board was also kicked by the state Senate. Governor Evers says finding a suitable candidate has been difficult over fears that the Republican-controlled state Senate will again vote out his nominee. The Wisconsin legislature passed a new law to make the Wisconsin Ethics Commission oversee all campaign finance compliance. The commission is now asking for the money to fund the effort. Savannah Tomei Olson has the story.
The state employees who oversee campaign finance compliance want to triple the size of their team. Until recently, local clerks collected campaign finance documentation from municipal candidates. But the legislature passed a new law requiring the Wisconsin Ethics Commission take over. The commission says to pull that off, they'll need more people, therefore more money. The agency is asking for an additional $5 million over the next 2 years to hire at least a dozen more people and get more office space.
The number of Wisconsinites aged 75 and older is expected to increase by about 75% over the next 20 years. According to the study by Forward Analytics, the research arm of the Wisconsin Counties Association, researcher Kevin Dospoy says that by 2030, the state is looking at needing an additional 33,000 new nursing home and assisted living facility beds that will be needed just to keep our current ratio of essentially 194 beds for every 1,000 people over the age of 75. As of last year, the state totaled about 80,000 beds in nursing homes and assisted living facilities. I'm Lisa Hale, 98.3 WISS News. For news anytime, log on to WISS.FM.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Brace yourself for a new Hollywood reboot, folks. Scrubs ran for 7 seasons from 2001 to 2008 on NBC and then 2 seasons on ABC. The original executive producer and showrunner, Bill Lawrence, will also commandeer the reboot, but as of right now, there is no cast yet attached. Maybe they should cast those two guys from the T-Mobile commercials. Looking for a good murder mystery? You might want to check out the show Cross. Cross is based on the best-selling Alex Cross novels by James Patterson and is quickly gaining viewers. The show logged 40 million views in its first 20 days of release, making it the 6th most viewed show ever on Amazon Prime. Aldous Hodge plays the brilliant Alex Cross, a detective and forensic psychologist who pursues serial killers. Season 1 is currently available to stream. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Waba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy for tonight, a low in the mid-20s. And mostly cloudy for tomorrow, a high into the low 30s. Some snow showers late tomorrow night into Wednesday, falling temps through the 20s and becoming breezy. Currently, it's 44 degrees.
This holiday season, Bank First in Oshkosh is a Toys for Tots drop-off site. Visit them at 1159 North Kohler Street, near Highway 41 and Omro Road, with your new unwrapped toy and help make the holidays brighter for kids in need. Learn more at bankfirst.com. Bank First, member FDIC.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Thank you to Harvey K., Professor Emeritus of Democracy, University of Wisconsin, Green Bay, our favorite Delano Democrat. I'm going to keep saying it. I'm going to keep saying
You're going to make it a thing.
I'm going to make it a thing. his great suggestions for the Democratic Party to win, bring labor in. And I got to tell you, man, I mean, I know there's been, you know, legacy things with the Democratic Party, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, talking about things that happened before I was born or when I was 1 year. I get it. Don't know the specifics. That's why I like talking to the old folks, man. Or the older, wiser ones. You know, like our friends like Harvey, our friends like Matt Rothschild, like when Earl comes on. And hell, even to that point, James Santel. You know, these folks, they're older than me. They've been around. They've been talking and dealing and thinking about these things much longer than I have. And they bring insight and knowledge to me, which I appreciate because Lord knows I need it.
Yeah.
So thank you, Harvey. It hasn't been officially like a regular thing, but we're going to probably make it more of a regular thing. I know he's going to be out of town, unavailable next week, but I think the following week we'll try to get Harvey on again. We will continue these conversations because I think they are inspiring. I think they're enlightening, and we got to keep on going. So bring labor back, bring them around, not just to do the work, but a seat at the table, calling out the corporate elite. And now they can be challenging because, you know, it's easy when people got money. Oh, you don't need people if you got money. Well, money doesn't do you
people.
Any. But you know, what does the money do for you? You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. If it doesn't manipulate and shape what people do, you still need the people. And you can do that. You can manipulate, quote unquote. You can inspire, right? You can engage with folks without the money. And that's why I think to his other point, not just bringing the working Americans in and calling out the corporate elite, but the FDR, the Economic Bill of Rights, which of course includes the big one here, which is of course healthcare. And I kind of got to the conversation about this murder of this healthcare executive and just the terrible gallows humor of people's reaction to it. It goes to tell you something about how people are feeling. And it's, I think it's something that we have to identify. I think it's certainly there. And why is it there? Because people are feeling like they're getting screwed. I think some of this, and there's an article, I think it was the New York Times today, basically saying how, you know, the folks, young males went from Bernie to Trump kind of a thing. I'm not going to get into it a whole lot, but I think there is, and I have some of this in me, a recognition that, man, things aren't going as they should, or things are really fishing, or I don't like this, or I'm getting
so
screwed on that.
So what do you do with that feeling?
Well, you blow the whole thing up and you burn it down, you stomp on it and you pee on the ashes.
And then what?
And then you got to engage. You know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, you can rhetorically maybe just do all that in your head, have an exercise. But the point is, eventually you come full circle back around to engagement and self-governance. And that's what we need to do. Mm-hmm. And when you have, and I think to Harvey's point, candidates that inspire, not just to do the fight, to bring the fight to, quote unquote, the bad governance, let's call it, but to inspire that within other folks. And that is, you know, that's not something you teach. And I think those folks come along fairly rarely. But I think it's very important. And who are those folks? Well, you got to find them. That's part of the engagement you talk about now, you know, kind of pulling back to your local communities, your local government, your state government, perhaps, when we see what might is being threatened or is being promised, depends on your perspective, of programs coming from the mega Trump administration. We got to find those folks. And when they're there, we should prop them up. We should support them, encourage them. And there's folks out there. You know, and here's the sad thing about it, too. There's a lot of very, very super talented folks out there that want absolutely nothing to do with politics or governance or elections or any of that stuff. And I think that's unfortunate. And I also think that some folks that have been successful in other endeavors automatically think that that's going to translate over to a successful, political run. And I would think that most people don't win. Certainly don't win on the first try.
Certainly not.
And some don't win at all. And you know, so you got to be ready for that. You got to be up for that. If you look at The folks that think that because they were successful in other endeavors, look at, think Tim Michaels here running for governor. Think who's a mustache guy who just, what's it? Humpty.
So memorable.
I wonder if he's staying here for Christmas. I mean, is he?
Well, it's really cold here.
You know what I'm saying? Laguna Beach sounds really nice right now. You know, very successful in his own, in his endeavors in banking and development and so forth, doesn't necessarily, certainly didn't translate to a successful campaign. Now, it was close.
Yes.
And if he was perhaps a little more personal, a little more engaging, a little
maybe
less
had
strained,
policy.
Policy schmalacy.
I know. I mean,
come on. Who needs policy?
Who needs that? It's boring.
I got a mustache. 855-752-4842. So thank you, Harvey. Thank you, folks, for listening. Let's keep going on it. Jack from the Mac, we'll get you next as soon as I can get control of the computer. Hey, Jack, welcome back. What do you got?
Thanks for taking the call. I had some thoughts about this immigration purge.
Yeah.
When I originally heard about it, you know, like we're going to deport 11 million people, and my initial thought was, and you're going to do that without ever deporting by accident real American citizens, and considering that about one in three, I think, Hispanic families has a relative who is undocumented at this point, there's going to be some issues with that. I thought, well, it's even worse. He's saying, yeah, we're going to throw the undocumented out, and we're going to throw the citizens out with them. I mean, this is incredible.
Yeah, and there's not going to be any lawsuits involved with this. I mean, they're going to fight this as well they should. Anybody would fight that tooth and nail, Jack.
Supreme Court's going to help?
Yeah, well, you know, I don't know about that. Hey, thanks for the call, Jack. You know what? To that point, I know we want to get to some of the health care cuts from Donald Trump. His interview yesterday with Christine Welker on the NBC. But cut number 10, Jess, when Donald Trump talks about deporting everyone. Do we have that one available?
We can in just a moment. All right, if you want to go back to the phone.
Let's get to that one shortly. 855-752-4842. Mary from Wauwatosa. Happy days, Mary. Welcome. What do you got for us?
Hi, Dom, and thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm calling in regarding our ailing health system, which the murder of the executive has brought into the limelight. Some time ago, a few years ago, I heard interviewed a MD by the name of Elizabeth Rosenthal, on the web. And here she wrote a book called An American Sickness, How Healthcare Became Big Business and How You Can Take It Back. Copyright was 2019. Hmm. And so my takeaway on this and a change that I've made myself is when I'm, you know, in a hospital situation and I'm required to sign to agreement to, you know, pay any bills that exceed health care coverage, the comment that she made that we should be inserting in that, and you can do this with any contract, you know, that you're required to read and sign to, and she said that you should insert the words, so long as the provider is in my medical network. And she made the comment that a hospital knows which physicians are going to be in the network. Mm-hmm. Now, if you picture being in surgery and the surgeon might have an assistant or call in somebody, you know, who is not in the network, and then yours truly gets billed by this party out of network, you know, and is responsible. So inserting this in that contract alleviates you of paying that.
That's a wow, Mary. That's a great point. Appreciate you bringing it up.
And that's something that really does happen to a lot of people, that the hospital is in network. The doctor who you agreed to go to is in network, but a nurse who was there for the day isn't in network. The anesthesiologist who was filling in that day isn't in network.
And so that ends up, if it doesn't get covered, you got to end up covering that yourself personally. It's just such a rat. Come on, people. We do have some health care. Let's get to the deporting everyone. Mm-hmm. Then we'll get to Mary's point. Jack was first talking about deportation. Mary's talking about the health care. Let's talk to Jack's point. Cut number 10, please.
Talk about mass deportation, one of your big agenda items. You've talked about prioritizing people who have criminal histories.
Correct.
But is it your plan to deport everyone who is here illegally over the next 4 years?
Well, I think you have to do it. And it's a very tough thing to do.
I think you have to do it. It's a very tough thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
Does that include the families?
You know, sounds
the
like
citizen
it.
Kids? Yeah, that's going to be problematic. All right, let's get to Trump on the health care, as we talked about the economic bill of rights.
Uh-huh.
Redoing our health care system, well, that's something we should certainly do. I don't think there's anybody who should be out there making, I don't know, what have they made, $281 billion in 1 year in revenue? Mm-hmm. The murdered CEO did from United Health, his division.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I want to make sure we have the right now. That was 1 year.
Sure about that.
That was 1 year. Mm-hmm. Here's Trump on the health care plan. Cut number 15,
yeah,
please.
Yeah, buckle in, everyone. Yeah. Buckle in.
I made it so that it works. Now,
referring to Obamacare.
You did try to overturn it.
Well, it's lousy.
You did try to overturn it. You did have your Justice Department try to direct the Supreme Court to
overturn. We got a little bit of a surprising opinion, to be honest with you. If it would have been overturned, we would have had much better health care right now. But right now, we have something that I made the best of. I could have made the worst of it, and it would have fallen by the wayside.
Yeah, okay.
I did the right thing from a human standpoint.
Which is?
But, you know, I'm sort of proud of my decision.
Yeah.
At the same time.
What decision?
Sometimes I regret it. I told the people, and I gave them the money to do it. I said, fix it. Make it work. Because people would have suffered.
You didn't bring a plan.
But it's too bad that they voted no. I wish John McCain, I wish he fought for 10 years on replacing Obamacare for 10 years, and then he voted against. Nobody understands.
No, sir, you said during the campaign you had concepts of a plan. Do you have an actual plan at this point for health care?
Yes, we have concepts of a plan that would be better.
Still but, just concepts? But, do you have a fully developed plan?
Let me explain.
Yeah, please.
We have the biggest health care companies looking at it. We have doctors. We're always looking because Obamacare
stinks. We're looking.
It's lousy. There are better answers. If we come up with a better answer, I would present that answer to Democrats and to everybody else, and I do something about it.
Okay.
But until we have that,
oh, you don't.
Or until they can approve it, but we're not going to go through the big deal.
What?
I am the one that saved Obamacare, I will say.
No.
And I did the right thing.
I will
thing.
Say no.
I could
no.
have done the more political thing and killed it. And all
you
I had
tried
to do was starve it to death.
You did try to have your Justice Department effectively kill it, though,
sir. Kill it from a legal standpoint, but from a physical standpoint, I made it work.
In your concepts of a plan,
I'm trying to legally
will
kill it.
People with pre-existing conditions still have coverage, and can you guarantee their prices will not go up?
The answer is yes, they'll have coverage. You have to have it.
And what about their
because
prices?
You know what?
What about their prices?
Yeah, right.
I want the prices to go down. I want to have better health care for less money. And there are ways
don't
of doing
all?
It,
mm-hmm.
I believe. And I have the smartest people in that world.
What
you know,
are
that's
they?
A separate world
it's
unto
a separate
itself.
World.
I have the smartest people in that world looking at it and trying. And if they come up with something,
if.
I will present it. Now, maybe you won't be able to sell it. But if we get better health care for less money, I believe it's very saleable.
Just very quickly, when will we see your fully developed plan? When are you
well,
going to show
I don't know
the
that you'll
plan?
See it at all. I can only say that we have some of the best health care people. I've always tinkered with it. I think it's a little hard to explain.
What? What? Are you folks listening to this? Did you just hear what I heard?
I did.
I mean, it's like if and when
if,
and smart
if,
and it's a little
hard
to explain. It's don't worry your pretty little self about it, Jess. It's too hard
concepts
for your,
of a plan.
We'll be fine. It's gonna be. How about this? We have Medicare, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why don't we just do Medicare for all? Let's just look at Medicare.
It's complicated.
We have government insurance for probably, I mean, off the back of the napkin math, a third of U.S. citizens. You can tell me we couldn't cover everybody. Now, would that make United Health maybe not make $281 billion in 1 year? I mean,
might.
Maybe. But, you know, what are they providing? What service are they providing to the healthcare users for that money?
Well, that's not the demographic that they're concerned about.
I mean, it's a little hard to explain. Come back with us, 855-752-4842.
Welcome to the Fox Valley's Real News and Great Conversation, WISS.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. In the 2024 election, estimates show that more than 83 million Americans voted early in person or by mail. President Donald Trump said December 5th he wants to look at returning to same-day voting. Speaking at a Fox Nation award ceremony where Trump was honored as the network's Patriot of the Year, he said, quote, "We're going to do things that have really been needed for a long time, and we are going to look at elections. We want to have paper ballots, one-day voting, voter ID, and proof of citizenship," unquote. Early voting options have expanded to 46 states since 2000. Election data company TargetSmart estimates almost 83.7 million Americans voted early in person, universal mail ballot, or absentee ballot. Among that 83.7 million were 35.16 million Republican early voters. The Texas Tribune reports that in the state's most reliably red counties, 50.4% of votes were cast early. In Trump's home state of Florida, where voting by mail is popular among seniors, over 3 million voters voted by mail and over 5.6 million votes were cast early in person, according to Secretary of State figures. The U.S. Supreme Court, which has deferred to the power of states to regulate elections, is unlikely to embrace any federal mandate to curb state-implemented early voting. We have links to more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Matt Nair on air. This shouldn't be a thing.
Michigan man leads lawnmower chase. "I'll stop," says the suspect. Instead, he reaches under the seat and pulls out a gun.
Shoots himself in the hand.
The deputy has his taser trained on him, and yes, he tased him.
I'm not advocating him for crime, but boost something that goes faster than cop on foot.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, the Fox Valley's home of Mino and the Mayor.
Welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. It's a phone line, it's a text line. Andrew from Maine, he texts in, "The biggest healthcare companies are looking into how they can make more money."
Yeah. Shocking.
Isn't that always a thing? Okay, so I did pull it up because I was curious, and here is what I found. This is an interesting statistic for you to ponder. According to the Wall Street Journal, 2023... annual revenues for ExxonMobil, $333 billion. 2023, according to the SEC.gov archives, for United Health Group, for the same year, $371 billion. So in 2023, United Healthcare Group grossed more revenue than ExxonMobil. That seems not right. I'm just saying, man. That just seems, come on, this is outrageous. And you're telling me that, you know, the American people are getting screwed on healthcare? We pay so much money for healthcare. We do not get the top line results other countries do. I mean, this is something that can and should be addressed. That's why you see the gallows humor on the internet about this very tragic murder. That's why, because people feel like they're getting screwed. And for someone who lost a loved one for because a claim was denied or whatever the case was, you think they're going to have any tears at all? Once again, ExxonMobil 2023 revenue, $333 billion. 2023 revenue for United Health Group, $371 billion. Man,
yeah.
They used to say money was in the oil. No, hell no. Money's in denying claims.
Yes, it is.
855-752-4842. Wisco Paul, you will be up. Welcome. Oh, it's going to get you here, Paul. I keep losing the mouse. Okay, Boomer. All right, Paulie, what's up? How you doing?
Hey, good afternoon, Don. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
Great show as always. Yeah, if you do a good job. Hey, what I don't understand, well, hey, first of all, when I listen to Trump, I have a hard time believing the Democrats lost to this guy because he really never answers any questions. But that's
policy and specificity matter, Paulie. He would have lost the election. But, you know, apparently it's just about owning the libs, and that's what you get.
Yeah, that is very unfortunate. But the big thing about the Affordable Care Act is if you had pre-existing conditions before that act, you were screwed. You couldn't get insurance, which means you were either going to go bankrupt or die. So that was the biggest thing.
Or and, Paulie, if you could get insurance, it'd be super, super high because they'd tack a premium onto it.
Yeah, that's correct. They would, the deductible might be $8,000, $9,000, $10,000. So, and you, a lot of people ended up bankrupt or with no insurance and actually literally died. So, the system you have now is a start in the right direction, but it could be made better. I hope he doesn't just try to ditch it. I think that's what McCain did. He says, "Hey, we can't just ditch it.
Yeah.
Let's just make it better." But. Yeah. At any rate, Bernie had some really good answers on health care, and apparently, that's a whole other story for another day.
Well,
okay, thanks for taking.
Yeah, of course, Paulie.
Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you, man. Appreciate you listening as always. It's a story for today, and it's a story for tomorrow, and it's a story for the next day because this doesn't leave us, man. We don't have to accept it. We don't have to continue to live under it. We can legislatively change things. That's the wonderful thing about it. Now, do we have the temerity to do so? Can we speak up, against the corporate elite? Can we engage with the working population in this country and maybe our immigrant population as well? Can we do that? Do we have leaders out there that are willing to do that? Someone like Bernie, but maybe a little younger. Those words and the passion that Bernie has, they resonate. They still matter. I mean, these are conversations that should never, ever go away because it's obscene. We don't have to live with it. We can regulate it. Yeah, regulated markets. Mm-hmm. Weird how that is.
And what's that thing about self-governance?
Well, you got to engage. You got to use it. You got to be out there. 855-752-4842. Hi, Dom. The revenue for Healthcare United, is that gross or is that profit after their expenses? No, Ross from Crawford County, the revenues that I listed, once again, United Healthcare, $371 billion in 2023, and for ExxonMobil, $333 billion. Those are gross revenue numbers. So you can take that as what you need to do. Here we go. Ross. Mark from Sussex. So it's okay to murder the CEO, ? Okay. No, Mark, it is not okay to murder the CEO, regardless of how obscenely profitable that CEO is, regardless of any of the fraud or insider trading that he may or may not have been involved in, regardless of how many people died because of denied claims. No, Mark, N-O, it is not okay to murder CEOs. It is not okay to murder anybody. Political murder, aggrieved murder, self-defense, maybe. But that's it, Mark. No. But it doesn't mean that we cannot objectively look at the terrible healthcare system that we have and wonder and understand, not wonder, to understand why some of the gallows humor out there on the internet exists. Because people are getting screwed by the system. That's some of the reason why Donald Trump got elected. Now, it might be misguided. So we need someone to, specify that, point it, put them in the right direction, take that passion. Yes, absolutely. There are things in this world, in this country, in our government, in our lives that can be better. But we got to identify them and work hard to do that and find folks that are willing to stand with us as well. Thank you for joining us, standing with us. Thank you, Jess P.S. on the board. Thank you, Harvey K., Professor Emeritus at the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. He will be more of a regular thing going forward. Folks, stick around. Pete Schwab and Nightlight is coming up next. We'll be back here tomorrow. Have a wonderful evening.
This is the Fox Valley's Real News and Great Conversation, WISS.
The holidays are here, and it's nearly time to pick a present from our grown-up gift list with our Civic Media statewide Text to Win contest. Listen while you work for the keywords to text for your chance to win $100 cash, an overnight vacation at Chula Vista Resort, and be entered to win one of our grand prizes, a robot vacuum, new luggage, humidifier, espresso machine, and more on our grown-up gift list at civicmedia.us. Just download the Civic Media app and listen weekdays at 7, 11, 1, and 4 for your chance to win in our statewide contest. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Thank you for listening to WISS Berlin, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. A trail of clues and sharp eyes leading to an arrest in Pennsylvania today connected to last week's targeted shooting death of United Healthcare's CEO. New York City Police Commissioner Jessica Tisch identifying the man of interest as 26-year-old Luigi Mangione.
Upon further investigation, officers recovered a firearm on his person as well as a suppressor, both consistent with the weapon used in the murder. They also recovered clothing, including a mask, consistent with those worn by our wanted individual.
A Goodreads account appearing to belong to Mangione left a 4-star review on Ted Kaczynski's Unabomber manifesto. The EPA banning two cancer-causing chemicals commonly used in dry cleaning and everyday cleaning products. Those bans still subject to congressional review. Former New York Yankee slugger Juan Soto signing with the New York Mets. He'll get $765 million over the next 15 years, a record. This is ABC News.
I'm-